Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
We're going to continue our series forward, and I want to inject a confession for us. At least during this series, you may even choose to adopt it to your life for the rest of your life. But this confession of, I'm moving forward, okay? I'm moving forward. Say that with me. Say, I'm moving forward. And why do you need to move forward? Because God is calling you forward.
That's right.
We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who move forward in faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. Even in a time or a season of waiting on God, it's a time we're waiting on God moving forward in prayer. It's an active waiting. Okay, we're not stuck. We're moving. Stuff is happening. We realize that prayer moves things. Amen. And so if we have a sense of awaiting and being still before God, when we pray, oh, we know things are moving in another realm that will manifest itself one day in this realm. Amen. And so the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is forcefully advancing. It's advancing. It's moving forward. And the gates of hell cannot stand against that forward moving advancement of the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that there will be a day that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. This is a promise. And if God promised it, you can settle. It's going to happen. And his timing is perfect. Amen? So we are here to bring more of heaven to earth every day while we're actively waiting on our King, our Messiah, our Lord to return. And he is going to return one day. Amen? And the term Maranatha is, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. So, but until then, we're moving forward. Come on, who's with me? Who's ready to move forward today? Well, last week we were in Exodus chapter 14, where the parting of the Red Sea took place, and we're going to move forward to Exodus 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 15, verse 22. That's where we'll begin today in a moment, and so excited about what God's doing. So many of you are already signing up for the Mexico mission trip, and that's awesome. Continue to sign up. Get more information about that. Again, I just want you to know, too, that your giving is going to all the world. We're supporting over 6 churches in Ukraine. They're buying vans and supplies. You just heard from our pastor, who I got to spend a couple weeks in Dubai last summer with him. He's a character for sure. Polish, which I can call him a character because I have some Polish in me. So, but we just had a blast last summer together. He's the real deal. And again, your giving goes to help support that, because we are giving regularly. Even as greater needs come up, we just give more generously. Why? Because we can, okay? Because of your generosity, we can give whenever there's a need that arises. Whenever there's a need that arises, we don't have to go, well, do we have it? We always have it. The question is, it's God, do you want us to give it? Okay, that's the question. And it's just another answer to the promise of God that it would be shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, and run over so that we could give on every occasion. And that's what happens when the body of Christ gives generously together. Amen? So thank you for that, and thank you for advancing the kingdom of God around the world, because that's our call. Remember, we don't need a word from God to go. We need a word from God to stay. because God already said go. So when you're praying about Mexico, you're not praying if you're supposed to go. You're praying if you're supposed to stay. So really, everybody should be signed up, okay? And just praying about whether you should unsign up, okay? So Exodus chapter 15, because we're moving forward. Exodus chapter 15. For those that weren't here last week, first question is why not? Okay. I want to just catch you up. So last week in Exodus chapter 14, it's a story of where the children of Israel had been released by Pharaoh because of the Passover that had happened in the firstborn Egyptian sons who had passed away. Finally, Pharaoh was like, get out of here. He freed them. The blood of Jesus. It was a foreshadowing of the blood of Jesus. It has power, and it set the Jews free from Egypt. But they were then kind of wandering a little bit on their way to the Red Sea, and once again, Pharaoh's heart hardened. And he sent the chariots after him to recapture them, to kill them, and the children of Israel found themselves in another situation. And this time, God was instructing Moses to tell the people to move forward, before the Red Sea opened. To move forward. And as they moved forward, Moses put his staff over the water and it split. They walked through it. And then the chariots, the army of Egypt came after them. They were buried, which is a foreshadowing for us as believers of water baptism. God saves us as we put our faith in Him. We're born again. But it's through the baptism, water baptism, that we bury our old life. Our old life, our old captivity is buried, okay? It's buried under the water so that we could continue to follow Him and grow and walk with Him. So now, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 through 22 is a story about the children of Israel singing, celebrating. And singing about the horses and the riders, they drown in the sea, and they're talking about God's faithfulness, and they're celebrating. And let me tell you, when God does something in your life, the appropriate response is singing. Great. Do you know that there are over 50 times in the Bible that God commands us to sing? To sing before Him. And there's something incredible that happens. I know we're a worshiping church. We love to sing. And most people get here and don't miss singing. You know, that's not the case in a lot of churches. A lot of places people kind of leave and don't get in until the worship's over. And they miss out on the blessing. They miss out on being able to obey one of God's commands. And here's the thing about God's commands. Even if you can't sing, even if it sounds bitter when it comes out of your mouth, it's sweet before God. It's a pleasing aroma before our God, okay? And here's the deal. Every time God has a command for you, you get blessed out of it. You get rewarded. You get way more out of worshiping God than God gets from you worshiping Him. Every time God has a command, you're the beneficiary of what's on the other side of obeying that command. Like, God is not this tyrant that just needs people to obey Him. Like he can make every... I mean, the angels obey Him all the time. The angels worship. They don't stop worshiping Him. Day and night, night and day, they worship. It's not like God needs His batteries charged up because with our worship, right? As it's some kind of like solar effect, God's batteries charge up because we're worshiping Him. No, He's always all-powerful, okay? He's always totally secure. He commands us to worship because He loves us. And He knows the blessing and the reward of us entering into worship. So He commands us so He can bless us. This is how you have to rethink. The devil wants you to think differently about when God commands you to do things. He wants you to think that every command of God is bitter. And it may begin bitter, Just like Sour Patch Kids, start bitter, okay? Just like Warheads, start bitter. But man, keep sucking on them, okay? Because in just a little while, it's gonna get so sweet! So sweet! I know, men, some of you just like, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just not a singer. I'm not a worshiper. It's kind of weird singing to a dude, you know, like, you know, but suck on it. Yes. Keep singing. Yes. Okay. Keep singing and it'll get sweet.
Yes.
It'll get sweet. Amen. Yes. See, what the devil does is he gives you something sweet that becomes bitter.
That's right.
See, sin is sweet for a moment, but gets so bitter.
That's right?
Yes. So, where are we at? Exodus. Exodus 15, verse 22. So, they're singing. The first 21 verses are the children of Israel singing and celebrating. And it was Miriam, Moses' sister, with the tambourine. Come on, Jackie, give me some tambourine. Right? You wonder, why do we got a tambourine in the church? Because we got Jackie in the church, that's why. And because God likes the tambourine. And so do I, right? So do I. It encourages me. Anytime I'm feeling a little slow, I just get a little tambourine anointing, and boom, I get electrified. Okay? And again, not everybody's a good tambourine person. Not everybody knows the appropriate time, the appropriate rhythm. But we got a professional tambourinist. So after all that singing, all that celebrating, we find ourselves in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 15. Moses led Israel away from the Red Sea into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Meri, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. That's why the place was called Meri. A bitter place. The people complained about Moses asking, "What are we supposed to drink?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord set down laws and rules for them to live by, and there he tested them. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the Lord your God and do whatever he considers right, if you pay attention to his commands and obey all his laws, I will never make you suffer any of the diseases I've made the Egyptians suffer, because I am the Lord who heals you." Next, they went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who have gone before us, Lord, that we can learn from them, that we can know who you are, that we can learn that we can trust you because you're good. You're always good, God. You are holy. You are perfect. You are loving. Oh, that we would know that even to another level today as a result of coming and worshiping you and hearing your words. Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts and minds to receive instructions. May we not be the same because of the grace of God, the love of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Am I saying that right again? Mara, thank you. Mara is the place of bitterness. I know why that, like, it's difficult for me to pronounce it, because I want nothing to do with bitterness, and that's what it means, okay? It means bitterness, and so, it's a place of bitterness, while Elim is the place of fruitfulness, advancement, progress, fulfillment. You cannot get to Elim without, until you have gone through Mara. This is why it is so important to deal with whatever issues that is causing bitterness in your life. Now, this morning, as I was praying and praying through the message again, the Lord emphasized something that I really don't recognize that often in my own life because I have not struggled with this. But the Lord was saying that people have a bitter taste from life and from life, and they have offense toward me because of it. They literally have a bitterness toward me. They may not fully be aware of it, but there's a bitterness that they have toward me. And God wants to set you free today. Because the last place you want to be direct bitterness toward is God.
True.
The source of the abundant life.
Yes.
The source of eternal life. The healer of your soul. In fact, this is where God reveals his name, Jehovah Rapha, for the first time. Right here at Mara, thank you, at the front row. Hell, Mara, for the first time, is here at Mara, this bitter pool. And Mara means bitter. And so, now again, let's set this up, you know, before we are too quick to judge the children of Israel. Like, they just saw the Red Sea opened up. I mean, it was... Come on, like, and they're already quickly complaining and worrisome. And I mean, okay, we got millions of people going through the desert, hot, right? I mean, we're about to enter into our desert season here. It's hot, and they're walking, and there's no water, and they're thirsty. You got nursing moms carrying babies. You got little kids. I mean, those of you who've had kids have ever gone on a road trip. I mean, you think it's suffering when your kid's going, how much longer, Dad? How much longer, Mom? Like, right? I mean, they're really suffering going, is there any water? I mean, I know what it's like to be dehydrated. I know what it's like to have your mouth be sticking every time you talk, so much so it's annoying for everybody who's listening. Because I wrestled in college. Okay? At the beginning of the week, you know, I would weigh about 20 pounds over by what I had to weigh in on Friday. So I had about 4 or 5 days to lose 20 pounds weekly.
Crazy.
Now, you don't lose 20 pounds from not eating. You lose 20 pounds by depleting your body of liquid. And so I had teammates that would cut weight and they'd hold weight for like 10 hours and they're miserable. Their mouth is dry and it is miserable. And my teammates that were my roommates, I won't mention his name. He's awesome. He's a believer, but he was so annoying. His voice got really high and then his mouth would stick. And he'd be talking about who is going to wrestle and we're going to weigh in 5 hours later. And he's talking. I'm like, stop talking. Okay, just stop. And I'm like, why are you cutting weight so soon? Okay, like I would cut down to where I was about 9 pounds over before weighing in an hour. And I would put all my plastics on. I'd get in the sauna. I'd put my plastics on, then my sweats and my hat and my hoodie. Then I'd get into the wrestling room where my coach kicked it up to about 90. And I'd start jogging around, jumping rope and rocking and doing this. And in about 45 minutes, I could tell. I was so in tune with my body. I could tell I'm a quarter pound under. I was 9 pounds over 45 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, that's about it right there. I'd go out and literally 95% of the time I was within an eighth of a pound, right? And I would literally lose 9 pounds. And I'd do it then because we got to weigh in and then immediately start drinking. But when you're dehydrated, man, you don't care about food. All you want is water, okay? And so it's hard. This isn't an easy thing. God is actually testing the children of Israel. He's putting them to the test. Like, you just saw a miracle, but will you trust me?
So good.
Okay? And again, God doesn't give tests so you fail.
That's right.
He gives tests so you learn and so you grow.
So good.
Okay, good teachers and professors, I believe, are the ones that give tests that they are anticipating you're going to pass and do well, and that you're going to see where you need to learn more. Not like, see how dumb you are, okay? See how, you know, like how much you didn't study. Rather, why don't you think, well, how bad of a teacher you are, okay? Okay, I when I was a professor, I was like, everybody's getting A's, because you getting A's is just proof that I'm a great teacher, okay? So learn, okay? So again, this is God's heart. God wants you to learn, okay? The test isn't there so you can go see how dumb you are or see how weak you are. No, it's so you can learn. And here, God is wanting the children of Israel to trust him for what they needed most, water. In the desert, they were going to need water and a source of water. In fact, on our wilderness experience, we pull the map out, we always camped near water. See, look, we were on this trip, we couldn't carry all the water we needed. In fact, when you're out there and you're hiking, you lose a lot of water, and so you got to be drinking. And so finding a good source of water was the plan. We were going to go look for, you know, on the map, we're going to camp by water. We're going to go find water. More than anything else, we needed water. We could have actually survived the trip without food, but not without water. And the same thing in our spiritual lives. Without the water of the Holy Spirit, without God, the rivers of living water, you ain't going to make it. Okay? You ain't going to make it. And so here's the thing. Now, he takes them, and now, oh, here's the water. I mean, can you see the expectation? Water! Water, everybody! There's an excitement. And then they get over there, and people start drinking, and oh, my goodness, it's bitter. Man, I mean, you're tired, you're worn out, your mouth is already dried out, and then you go sucking on. That's the word of the day, sucking, I guess. drinking salt water, bitter water, what's that going to do? It's only going to make it worse, and it's going to hurt any of the cracks in your lips. I mean, come on, God, what's up? So now, can you give a little grace to the children of Israel for like not having the greatest attitude? Like, we're going to die. This is hurting. We had an expectation. Can you put yourself in those shoes? Have you ever seen life and life's been bitter? Life's been hard and you had an expectation, and then all of a sudden you get to this and it's even more bitter. Like, you're fully anticipating, your whole life group's been praying for you for this job, and you had the interview, you felt so good, and then you get the call, and it's like, no, we went with somebody else. It's bitter. It's a bitter situation, but bitter situations will come, Jesus said. Jesus said, in this life there'll be trouble, there'll be difficulty, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. I have overcome every bitter situation you'll ever face. And we're going to get to how in a moment, but he promised it. And he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome every bitter pond, every bitter situation. Amen. In your life. Yes, trust me. So they got this bitter water, and they're just like, now what? And Moses cries out to God. That's what you do. You cry out to God because you have to reset expectations. You need to have expectations. The answer is not to not have expectations, because you have no hope without expectations. Right. And without hope, you get discouraged, you get disappointed, you get despair, and you get depressed, and ultimately can lead to death, going, I don't want this. Okay? And so you have to have expectations. But the question is, where have you put your expectations? Don't put them into circumstances. Don't put them into results. Put them into God. Put them into God. Put your expectation, that living hope, into Christ, into the risen Savior, into the resurrection. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can fix every situation.
That's right.
Even if it's a dead situation, God has resurrection power to bring it back to life. Amen? Amen? So again, this bitter situation doesn't have to make you bitter. It can make you better. And I want to say, my title of the message today is From Bitter to Sweet. to bitter to sweet. He doesn't want to just make you better. He wants to make you sweet.
Amen.
He wants to take your bitter situation and make it a sweet situation. Okay, but how do you do that? How do you make this dead, bitter thing, how do you make it sweet? It's going to take an act of God. Amen. And that's what God puts us in, situations that we can't get ourselves out of. We can't make sweet. Only He can. He wants us to live in that place. He wants us to live in that place where we need Him. And so the very first test is that, hey, you're going into the desert and you can't do this. You can't walk this walk. You can't be my people without me and my power. So stop trying. And in those situations, don't revert back. Don't revert back to your old way of how you used to, you know, find sweetness. Because you knew that it leads to bitterness. You knew it started sweet. Sin is sweet for a season. I mean, how did we even come to Christ? Is we recognize that. We recognize that this life, the way I'm living, just is, it leaves me bitter. It doesn't leave me fulfilled, even when everything seems to be good. And that was the story of my life. I'm like, man, I got everything. I mean, everything was so good, and my life was going so well in sports, in school, and relationships, and yet I was empty. There was this bitter taste to it. It was like, there's got to be more to this life than this. And that's what led me to what seemed to be bitter, but was really sweet on the other side. Okay, yes, obeying God, it starts bitter. It starts many times very hard. But if you'll obey, on the other side of it is sweetness. Yeah. On the other side of it is fruit. And see, here's the deal. On the other side of the bitterness was what? Elam, this sweet water. But before that, God wanted to take this bitter water and make it sweet. How did He do it? He said, Moses, take that wood, take that log, and throw it into the water. A little foreshadowing.
Right.
How do you make the bitter things in your life sweet? It's the power of the cross. The power of the cross. The cross itself. For those of you who were here for Easter, at least one of the service, I mentioned this. It just hit me. It was like, this cross over 2,000 years ago, before Jesus died on it, was a symbol of the most horrific, painful, suffering, embarrassing, shameful thing in the earth. It was ugly. It was horrific. It was bitter. It was there in the garden. Jesus was willing to accept the bitter cup. To accept the bitter cup of the cross and go to the cross. He despised the shame. He despised it. He rejected it passionately. Okay, there he lamented the shame. He said, I am not going to receive it. I'm going to the cross, because on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. And the resurrection redeems the bitterness of the cross. But in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus came, there was a foreshadowing once again where God told Moses, take the wood, throw it into the bitter water, and it will become sweet. Church, the bitter things in your life become sweet by the power of the cross. The cross, and taking up your cross daily. So the bitterness that you face, because there are going to be bitter things that you will face every single day. Life is hard. Life is bitter. But the cross has the power to make it all sweet. To make it all sweet. And He doesn't have you camp out around that. He moves you on. Where? To where there's trees already planted, where there's a harvest already waiting for you. And a water that's never had to be redeemed. It's fresh. Rivers of living water. Fresh waters. It's fresh. Available to us because of the cross. This was also the promise that the Old Testament saints looked on, the Old Testament prophets. They said, there's a day coming, man, where the Holy Spirit won't be taken from us, where the Holy Spirit will live inside of us, where the Holy Spirit will give us a new heart. where our sins will be completely forgiven. This is that new covenant Pastor Cruz is talking about. There's a day coming. So, how do we do it? Well, Corinthians tells us that the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But the cross for those who do believe is the power to save, is the power to deliver, is the power to take the bitter things in our lives and make it sweet. Yes. To make it sweet. Now, here's the thing. I want you to be open to the Holy Spirit. To even if it's subconsciously, you're not maybe even aware of that you have an offense toward God. That you have some maybe unforgiveness toward God, that you might even have some bitterness because of life, because of things, because of unmet expectations. And here's the deal. I'm not here to condemn you. The Holy Spirit's not here to condemn you. The Father, even with that, He pursues us. We're the ones on trial, you guys. God has never failed. He never needs forgiveness, okay? Even though He's willing to come and say, man, come on, receive my love, receive my forgiveness. This is God's heart. This should also be our heart, to live at peace with everyone we can, okay? That to do everything we possibly can do to live at peace with everyone. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's what God the Father did. He did everything He could. He sent His Son, okay? He gave it all. He went all in for you and I. He's done it all. Now it's up to you to say, am I going to receive that? That's up to you. And even in that, there's a mystery that we were singing about, like the mystery of, well, what else was I going to do after God seemed to have me pinned down on the ground in June of 1987 in my life. He had me pinned to the ground with my arm behind my back saying, follow me, obey me, receive me, Mike. Like, what other choice was there at that moment for me, really, right? But somehow there still is a choice. And there's a mystery there. There's a mystery of that. Will I surrender my bitterness? Will I surrender my forgiveness? Will I surrender my way? And will I say, I will trust your way? Will we allow God to take the past bitter situations in our lives and work them out for good in our lives? What does that mean? It means whatever bitter things that have happened in your past, He can make them sweet. He can make them all sweet. This is the promise of God. But it's the cross, and it's applying the cross and what Jesus did on the cross to those bitter situations. It's the power, it's the mystery of the resurrected power, okay, that hit the cross, that ultimately said what was done on the cross was actually done on the cross. That's what the resurrection proved. The resurrection proved when Jesus said it was finished, it was actually finished. And now and forever, the cross is beautiful. So beautiful. People have been wearing it around as jewelry, as a beautiful symbol, because it is a beautiful symbol. But it was the most bitter symbol in the earth, but yet God made it sweet. And if God can do that for the cross, what can He do for you? What can He do for those that have been made in His image? That's you. We were all created in God's image. But we all sinned and fell short of how we were supposed to live. We all disobeyed. We all went our own way. But the good news, the gospel, is this. Those who turn away from that, saying, I'm going to live my life my way, and turn to God and say, I'm going to do it your way. And through the power of the cross, it transforms us. And it makes what's bitter sweet. So back to this question. Could you today have some unforgiveness toward God? Maybe you've deflected it upon other people because you know, that's not smart. Maybe you deflected it upon your mom or your dad. I mean, again, another two people that so important to not be bitter toward your mom or dad. There's a promise, there's a blessing attached to not being bitter at your mom and dad. And I know some is very hard because your mom and dad did so many bitter things to you. But don't let that bitterness stay bitter. Let it turn sweet. Let God redeem it by the power of the cross. Honor your mom and dad. Honor them. Because there's a blessing. There's a promise attached to it. There's a sweetness to be released into your life. You know, in this past little journey that I've been on, that was kind of been a test. You know, my back got struck. There was even a moment in there that I'm like, hey, God, like if you're doing this, like I'm okay. Even if your finger is the one causing the pain that was so horrific, even if it's you, God, and you're doing it to me. I'm not saying it was, but I said, even if it was God, even if this is, I'm okay because I know your heart for me. That you wouldn't be doing this to punish me. You wouldn't be doing this because you want me to feel pain. But you only do this because you want me to grow. God only disciplines those he loves. And the motivation is everything. And in that moment of my testing and the trial was just, God, I'm not even sure why this is all happening. But I want to pass the test. I want to pass the test. Now, see, when in doubt, I blame the devil. Okay, for every bad thing in life. When in doubt, blame him. Even though many times we're the ones that are to blame for some of the stupid things we do. It wasn't even the devil. He's just standing back sometimes. Some of you, devil's like, dude, you're doing a great job yourself. Okay? Like, but when in doubt, man, blame him, okay? Blame the devil. That's where you're allowed to blame. You're allowed to go there. But in Hebrews chapter 12, I never saw this context about bitterness. And if you have your Bible, turn there with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're beginning to close. And you guys have been here a while. You know there's a difference between beginning to close and actually closing. So, but we're beginning to close. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it begins with, you know, because there's such a great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us and to run the race and, you know, to rid yourself of those things that have weighted you down and easily entangled you, especially sin. Get rid of that in your life. And then it goes on, it says, you know, don't think when you're experiencing suffering and hardship that that's a strange thing. Like your father, you know, in heaven, your heavenly father disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those he loves. And so in that context, this is verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that you have no bitterness toward God, toward anyone, because it will defile. This is why God's dealing with the bitterness in the children of Israel, because if he allowed that bitterness to go to the next stream, to Elam, they'd make it bitter. They'd contaminate it. Don't miss the grace of God. There's grace. There's grace available to take every bitter situation and make it sweet. But if you choose not to, that thing will be bitter. It will get bitter. And if you turn to sin, you turn to relieve yourself, from that pressure, as you're coping or, sinning, doing those other things, man, that just gets a bit more bitter. But actually take the grace, receive the grace, let the cross come on to that bitter thing, that bitter situation. And there's plenty of bitter situations, but you can handle it because resurrection power lives on the inside of you. You can resist the devil after you submit to God. As you submit to obeying God, then resisting the devil is easy. But many times we're trying to resist the devil before we submit to God. First, submit to God. Submit to God. Take up your cross. Embrace suffering and pain as a good soldier, as a good son or daughter. That it's not something strange that's going on. We endure it. We press on. They were suffering for 3 days. There was a real suffering. There was a real pain to not having any water. There was possibilities of dying. There was lots of pain. And then they drink this bitter water. Ow, this hurts. And disappointment happens because they had an expectation, which, yes, have expectations. But don't put your ultimate expectation in your circumstance. Put it in God. Put it in God because He can change your circumstance. Even when you expected a different thing, He can change it. He wants us to trust Him and move forward. But you ain't going to move forward bitter. You're stuck. It's like roots holding you back, like chains holding you down from advancing. You're his son, you're his daughter, but you can't move forward because of bitterness. Jesus said this. He said, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Now, how does that even work? Like, I can't forgive others unless you forgive me. That's the paradox. But here he gives you a giant wad of $100 bills. And there are people all around you that need you to give them one. You've got hundreds of them because God forgave you. It's hard to forgive others when you haven't received forgiveness. But if you've received it, for you not to give it, like, it's ridiculous, but it's not hard when you've really received it. So what I believe the mystery is that receive what was done on the cross, receive your forgiveness, and then you can apply that love and grace to every bitter situation. Because you have such an abundance of grace and love and mercy. And here's the deal. His presence is what the grace of God is His presence. His presence changes everything. Even when you're in a situation that's bitter, His presence makes it sweet. Because you know that your suffering gets rewarded. You know this is temporary. That you're going to get to the other side of it. You're going to get to Elam because you didn't let this bitter water stay bitter. You made it sweet. And then He's going to move you forward to the sweet, fresh water where there's fruit already hanging for you. Hallelujah. So now we'll close. Before I ask you to bow your heads, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask. I believe God's already been speaking to you. If you realize today that you might have some unforgiveness, some disappointment to God, release it. If you know somebody has bitterness toward you, do everything you can to be at peace. Care. You know, you can say you're sorry, even if you didn't sin. You know, so many times you didn't sin. It was just a misunderstanding or, it was, You know, you had an expectation that, you know, somebody would come to the hospital to visit. You had an expectation that they were going to call you back, you know, within 5 minutes of them calling and leaving a message. You had an expectation that when you text somebody that there would be an immediate response. Okay? And so people get offended and hurt because of those things. And I'm not saying that those things because any of you have ever gotten offended at me for any of those things, okay? But those things happen. And so did I sin by not calling you back on your time frame? And if I wasn't able to make it to the hospital for a visit and I sent, you know, somebody else there instead? No, I didn't sin. But guess what? I know you're hurt. I know you had an expectation. And as an ambassador of Jesus, I can go, I'm sorry I wasn't there. And I can even say, will you forgive me? Okay? Even though I didn't sin, I know you need to forgive me. To reconcile, right? Now, God's not coming to you, hey, forgive me, you know, because I've sinned against you. He has never sinned, but He wants you to forgive Him for your good, to restore relationship. Release God and say, God, forgive me for not forgiving you. Forgive me for holding anything against you, God, to putting you on trial. Forgive me, God. You're God, I'm not. Who am I to say to the potter anything? But thank you for being alive and thank you for giving me a home in heaven. If God never does another good thing in my life, He's done more than enough. So would you bow your heads and would you let the Holy Spirit just bring to remembrance anything that you can release and you can give up, that you can surrender to God. If it's God, say, God, I release you. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. If it's somebody else, release them. If somebody doesn't have safe passage through your mind that you might have some bitterness toward, release them today. Say, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. But before we do that, would you receive forgiveness? If you're saying, you know what, I recognize I might have some bitter waters in my life. Even today, Holy Spirit reminded me of some things, maybe something toward God, toward somebody else, and you would say, man, that's me, and I want that bitterness to be made sweet today. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? Because I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For you are able to make bitter things sweet. For those who are watching online, listening online, just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I release my bitterness. Come on, just say it. Just say, Jesus, I release my bitterness. I release my unforgiveness. Forgive me. Forgive me of holding any offense, any unforgiveness toward you, God, toward others. I release them. And I receive the love and forgiveness from you because of you, Jesus. I receive it, that you remove it as far as east is from the west, out of my life. And you are making me new. You are making me sweet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler, or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.